what he'll do with that truth, how he'll feel about it, or how his reaction will affect me. He doesn't ask again. He doesn't leave me alone either. He lays down beside me, curls an arm around me, pulls me to him and buries his face in my hair, kisses my head. I feel his whole body relax against mine. It's in that moment I find my courage. I want him to ask me again. I'm not strong enough to say it on my own, but if he asks, I'll tell the truth. I pray that he asks. My prayer is answered with his silence and the slow, deep breathing that tells me he's asleep. So I stuff my truth into my bottle of emotions and save it for the next time he asks me how I feel, which is nothing like Miss Sims. And just like I'm falling in love. 17. Emily is so selfish. A good friend would have rationed the food in the apartment so she could stay out of sight like I asked. But not Emily. She just had to go to the grocery store in broad daylight where she could have been seen by anyone. My mother wasn't in the store, but she was in her workshop when Emily got back to the apartment, the one located directly above my mother's workshop. I just can't believe he would go to such extreme lengths to lie to me, and to involve Emily. Penelope, how could you? I throw my arm across my face and groan. Mom, it's fine. Emily is fine. I'm fine. She needed some time alone, and I needed some time away from her so I could do some book research on my that guy. Penelope Lane Hart, she whisper shout hisses. It's so loud I have to pull the phone from my ear. Are you still in that man's house? I peek from beneath my arm to find Jake lying awake next to me wearing an amused smile. I guess he heard. She starts in on me again, and instead of me getting up and barricading myself in another room so he can't hear her, I turn on my side to face him and put the phone on speaker between us. Her voice fills the room mid-sentence. Could be a sex offender. You just never know about people these days, especially people from up there. Jake lifts a brow and I grin. They're not like us. I don't care how many fancy parties he takes you to or how rich he is or how nice Emily promised me he was. I don't trust him. Mom, what kind of man looks like that and isn't married? Mom, Emily showed me a picture on the Google. Mom, but she won't tell me how to do a background check. Mom, I've already made a pie to bribe the sheriff. Mom, are you having sex with him, Emily? Jeez Louise. Mom, you're at a 9. I'm gonna need you to bring it down to a 3 before you get your blood pressure up. Take some deep breaths. While she does that, I share a smile with Jake. Usually we're either arguing, flirting, or fucking. But this feels normal, comfortable. A little awkward considering my mom is chanting a breathing exercise. When I think she's had enough, I ask, better? Much. Yes. Okay. I'm good. I'm still not good with you being there with that strange man, but I'm putting it in the Lord's hands. Thank heavens the Bible tells us he always listens to our prayers for those who are living in sin. If that wasn't the case, he'd never hear me when I prayed for you. Jake smirks at that. Thanks, Mom. My tone is dry. You make sure he knows that you have a mother who is going to be checking in on you regularly. So he better not try any funny stuff. I read in the newspaper, you know that column Connie writes about how to be an aware woman in a dangerous world? Anyway, just last week she said most pedophiles don't target women who have an active relationship with family and friends. They mostly target those who live lonely lives. Like, her voice drops to a whisper, whores. I can't help it. I laugh. Jake rolls his eyes and gives me the finger. That finger. He's a nice guy, Mom. You have nothing to worry about. I'm a mother. My job is to worry, Penelope. The sadness in her voice tears at my heart. Jake reaches out and caresses my temple with his thumb. I force a smile that he doesn't return. He's thoughtful a moment longer, and then he does something really stupid.
Ms. Hart?
I dive for the phone, but he grabs it and holds it out of reach.
What the fuck are you doing?
I mouth, but he ignores me.
Ms. Hart, this is Jake Swagger. Penelope has been staying with me?
He's all amiable and smooth, voice warm and smile big even though she can't see it. But it falters when my mother's tone loses its sweet southern charm and becomes matter-of-fact.
What can I do for you, son?
I lean back and smirk. This may turn out to be pretty entertaining.
I just wanted to let you know that Penelope is safe here with me, and she will be as long as she's in Chicago.
A beat of silence passes before she answers. Jake, was it?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Jake, I appreciate that. And while I have you on the phone, there's something that I want you to know. Oh, Lord, I know that voice. If my daughter comes home hurt, harmed, sick, or crying, I'm holding you personally responsible. You do not want me to come to Chicago, Jake. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am. I'll take care of her.
Don't make promises you can't keep, young man. Jake grins.
I wouldn't dream of it, Ms. Hart.
You say that now, but Penelope can be a handful.
I am quite aware, I assure you. She's been that way her whole life.
I'm right here, Mom, and my phone is about to die. Before she can say something about that, too, I snatch the phone from Jake, tell her I love her, and hang up, not giving her a chance to respond, or Jake a chance to say goodbye, which he chastises me for with a narrow, disapproving gaze.
I'm hungry. Can we call Uber Eats?
His face softens and he smirks.
You don't call Uber Eats, sweetheart. You use an app, and I've already ordered us something.
He grabs his phone and swipes his finger across the screen, then turns it so I can see.
It'll be here in 5 minutes.
Then I should get dressed so I'm not naked when Alfred brings it up. I roll away from him and untangle myself from the covers.
Alfred has the morning off, but even if he didn't, he wouldn't come all the way up here and see you naked.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. Just like I know Vance, the other doorman who is working today in Alfred's place, won't come in here just to see you naked either.
Whatever. I'm going down to meet the Uber. I wince as I stand. Everything south of my belly button is sore. And just like yesterday, there's nothing delicious about it. This just can't be normal. I don't know Vance. He might be a pervert. Despite Jake's laugh, I can feel the burn of his stare as I make my way very slowly and very nakedly across the room. And no sex today, I say, doing my best to avoid looking at him sprawled out in bed, wearing nothing but a sheet that's tented by that damn light pole he calls a penis. Or tomorrow, or maybe for the rest of my life. He chuckles.
That's a little extreme, don't you think?
Nope. It'll probably take that long for my vagina to shrink back to its original size. His groan is low and pained, and I'd bet anything he's stroking himself.
Men. Don't say vagina, Penelope.
It's the appropriate medical term, Jake. The guest bathroom seems a million miles away. I'd use his, but I need my toothbrush. ASAP. And as bad as I want to be just like every other typical heroine in a romance novel, I don't want it bad enough to use Jake's toothbrush. There are some things I just won't do. The blinds in Jake's room are closed, but the ones in the guest room give me a full view of the ominous gray sky. It looks like a scene from The Day After Tomorrow. Everything is still, cold, creepy. It pains me to look at it. But not as much as it pains me to see my own reflection in the bathroom mirror. I have that just fucked glow without the glow.
My kissed too hard lips are a little dry. Messy and crazy thick, untamed curls are everywhere. Day-old mascara clings to my lashes and is smudged beneath my eyes. Not that I've looked at it, but I'm pretty sure my vagina is in the same just-fucked state as the rest of me. I fear it may be ruined. I'd hike my leg up on the counter to visually survey the damage if I weren't so scared of what I might find. Mouth clean, bladder empty, I dig through the Miss Sims wardrobe hanging in the closet in search of something normal. I spot something gray toward the back and get excited. I think it's sweatpants. Please let it be sweatpants. It's pants. Comfortable looking ones. With a matching top that has a C looped through a backward C logo on the front. I feel like I should know what that is. I'm pretty sure it's Coach. I look at the tag. Chanel. I thought they just sold perfume. Oh my God, this feels amazing. I can't stop from running my hands over the fabric. It's so soft. I don't even know what kind of material it is, but I love it. I find some Chanel slipper shoe things and slide those on, over socks because I'm fashionable, and head to the elevator. Nose to the wall, humming my song, I distract myself by thinking about what food Jake ordered. I hope it's not anything healthy like an egg white omelet or turkey bacon. He looks like the kind of guy who eats that shit. Although he is also the kind of guy who cooks real bacon shirtless. So what do I know? The lobby is warm and welcoming. The man sitting in his car honking the horn? Not so much. I thought he was supposed to come inside the lobby. Does he? No. He's a dick. And I'm forced to walk outside in the snow and meet him at his car. And it's minus 42 degrees. The young punk that can't be a day over 15 rolls down the window, and I want to snatch the food, give him the finger, and tell him to go to hell. Then I remember I have to pay him. And I have no money. I've forgot your money. I wrap my hands around me to hold in the warmth while he stares at me like I'm stupid. You Mrs. Swagger? Mrs. Swagger? Well now, that has a ring to it. Yes. You paid with the app, lady. He holds his phone up like I'm supposed to understand the shit on the screen. Oh, well, in that case... I snatch the food off the seat, give him the finger, and stutter the best insult I can manage with frozen lips and jittering teeth. Go fuck yourself, you little shit! Penelope? I straighten to find Jim Canton staring at me. Then his eyes move to the Uber driver. Is everything all right? Yes, sir. Shit. Fuck. Damn. You better get inside, girl. It's freezing out here. Where is your jacket? He holds open the door and ushers me inside, casting uneasy glances over his shoulder until the car drives away. I move to the massive fireplace in the lobby. My bones are frozen. I'm sure of it. And I've only been outside a couple minutes. I've never felt cold like this. It's not right. This weather is something to get used to, isn't it? He pulls off his thick jacket, dusts the snow from it, and places it around my shoulders. Such a gentleman. Man, I miss the South. I have no intentions of getting used to it. So, summer's here and winter's in Mississippi? What? He pulls a chair closer to the fire and gestures for me to sit before getting a chair for himself. You and Jake, are the two of you going to spend winters in Mississippi to avoid the cold? I manage a laugh. Oh, I'm not sure what we're going to do, or what we even are.
I see.
Anxious for a change in subject, I nod toward the leather briefcase in his hand. I didn't know you and Jake had a meeting this morning.
Technically, we don't.
His small smile is a bit sheepish.
I hate to just show up like this, but I was hoping he and I could discuss a few things this morning. And this darn cell phone of mine only works half the time.
He pulls from the pocket of his shirt what has to be the original Nokia cell phone. Well, since Noah brought that thing over on the Ark, I have no doubt it doesn't work when it should. We share a laugh, and now that my limbs have thawed and my shivering has stopped, I figure it's a good idea for me to phone Jake and let him know we're coming up. Give me just a second. I'm going to call Jake and let him know you're here so he'll be decent. Fuck. I mean dressed. Shit. I mean, yeah. I scramble out of my seat and across the room, but not before hearing Jim's chuckle or seeing the glint of amusement in his eyes. I grab Alfred's desk phone and hit the button labeled with a big P. It rings 8 times. I know because I counted the damn things and cursed Jake on every ring he didn't answer. Penelope. My knees shake at his deep tone laced with the promise of so many orgasms. Jake, I breathe, gripping the phone so tight I'm surprised it doesn't crack under my hold.
Whose fucking jacket are you wearing?
What? How did you know?
I can see you. The surveillance cameras are linked to my phone. Now, whose fucking jacket are you wearing?
I look directly into the little black dome above my head and smile. Are you jealous?
Yes. I won't ask you again, gorgeous.
Have mercy. He's jealous. Of me. Kryptonite. Jim Canton is here. Just thought I'd let you know before we came up and caught you busy.
You didn't answer my question, Penelope.
I smile to myself and sway back and forth while I write Mrs. Swagger with my finger on the desk like a 6th grader. It's Jim's. The Uber driver wouldn't bring the stuff inside. I had to go out and get it. In the blizzard. About froze to death. I poke my lip out and look up at the camera. It was awful, Jake.
That son of a bitch.
I bat my lashes at him. What are you going to do? There's a beat of silence as the rustle of fabric brushes over the phone. He must be getting dressed.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do,
he growls. My blood heats at the imminent promise of torture he'll deliver to defend my honor.
I'm going to leave that motherfucker a bad review.
Wait, what? A bad review?
That's right.
Okay, stop with the Batman voice. Now you just sound ridiculous. We're coming up. I hang up before my desire for him ebbs even more. Jim, who has been listening to only one side of the conversation, fights his laughter as he joins me.
Sounds like the weather isn't the only thing you're not used to. City boys are a lot different.
I know, right? Whatever happened to the kind of good old chivalry where a man beat the shit out of another man? Don't they know it's way hotter than fighting someone with lawyers or bad reviews? I have to choke the last word out. His strong laughter fills the room.
I've no doubt Jake would handle business physically if it came down to that.
He brushes his shoulder against mine and winks.
Don't be too hard on him. It isn't his fault he's a city slicker. I'm sure he more than makes up for it in other departments.
Is he talking about... No, he's not. There is nothing suggestive about what he says. He probably means he's intelligent, powerful, rich. You're right. I mean, he does have a Rolex.
One of those real fancy watches?
Yep. I think the cheapest ones are like 20 grand. So I'm sure his cost well over 100.
For a watch?
Mm-hmm.
Does he know that it just... tells time?
I look up at him and smile. Jim, I think we're soulmates. Excuse me. He chuckles, but it dies when I face the corner and start humming. I can feel him looking, like they all look, not that I care.
That was strange,
he says, once we make it to Jake's floor. I am a strange girl, Jim. I look up and Jake is standing in the doorway to greet us. Wearing a white Henley, and jeans, and he's barefoot, and I just died and went to heaven. His smile is wide, eyes fixated on me, and I'm positive he's about to say something sexy and sweet and swoony
Like maybe I'm his perfect kind of strange.
Batshit crazy is more like it.
Or not.
18.
Jake and Jim have been in Jake's office for forever. I've eaten my pancake breakfast platter, took a shower, dug through Miss Sims's wardrobe, found nothing as awesome as that Chanel pantsuit, put the pantsuit back on, straightened the guest bathroom, made Jake's bed, run out of lives on Toy Blast, texted Emily to send me another life, stupidly sent her a selfie of me wearing Chanel. Now I'm waiting for her response. I get the middle finger emoji, and no life for Toy Blast. So, so jealous. I glance at the clock and realize forever has only been a few hours. It feels like longer because, though he's only feet from me, I can't see Jake. And I miss him. I miss his face, mouth, lips, humor. I even miss his anger. And when I think about him, I get the sensation that I'm high. Not high on pot, though. The few times I've done that, I just thought about stupid things like how numbers tasted, and whether it was the S or the C that was silent in the word scent. By the way, I still haven't figured that out. Yeah, this definitely doesn't feel like I'm high on pot. It's more like I'm high on meth. Not that I've done meth, but I hear it heightens your senses, causes you to run really fast, makes you never want to sleep again. Maybe that's vampire venom. Whatever. Bottom line, I'm falling for Jake Swagger. He dominates my mind, my body, and my heart. My blood tickles when I think about him. My nipples harden with every sore step I take. My pulse speeds at the smell of him that's everywhere. Last night, I was convinced I was falling in love. Today, I've decided to reevaluate the situation, considering I'm not under the influence of a post-coital, mind-numbing orgasm. And because I'm bored and have 10 minutes until I generate a life on Toy Blast. So, is it lust or is it love? Lust is where it's at. Lust intensifies the moment, amplifies the experience, creates a sexual attraction that leads to a sexual encounter that leaves you walking funny while simultaneously anticipating the next time he bottoms out inside you. But lust is also something you can walk away from, something you can smile about if you want to remember, or something you can choose to forget. Love? Give your heart to someone, and you'll regret it. Be it today, tomorrow, or 100 years from now, you will one day feel the downside. Nothing that great comes without repercussions, which is exactly why love is so powerful. If I had a choice, I'd choose lust. Problem is, it's not that easy. This isn't multiple choice. I don't get to choose anything. My heart gets that honor. And that stupid bitch has done nothing but make bad decisions since she tried to burst out of my chest at the sight of Eddie Smith stripping down to a cape and a pair of Ninja Turtle underwear during my 6th birthday party. If only my heart were as smart as my vagina. To hell with my heart. My mind is made up. It is lust that I feel. Lust doesn't result in loss, only rewards. There is no reward when it comes to love. Love will cripple you. Then again, fucking Jake Swagger will also cripple you. So really, what the hell do I know? 19. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon before Jake and Jim finally emerge from the office. They're laughing. I'm hungry again. I'm also entranced by the deep rumble of Jake's magnificent laugh, and the ripple of muscles beneath his shirt as he shakes Jim's hand, and the way his jeans hug him in all the right places, and how I want to lick all those right places. Someone whistles, snaps. Hello, Penelope. I jerk my eyes up to Jake's. Funny how my brain just stops functioning when I look at his crotch. Hello, Jake. I look for Jim, but he's not here. And the idea that we're alone, again, excites the hell out of me.
Where's your head at, gorgeous?
I can't believe he just called me gorgeous, sober, with his cock still in his pants. I'm getting to him. My head is everywhere. Are y'all finished? Did you do it? Are the Cantons rich as fuck? Are you the proud owner of some special contraption that waters crops? Jake's arms flail in the air. He kicks a leg out, makes a strange face, cuts his eyes from me to his right, then back to me. It's quite entertaining and really confusing. Then he whisper shouts at me and I get it.
Shut the fuck up. He's still here.
Hell, I didn't know. I whisper shout back. A door opens behind me, and Jake shoots me a quick glare of warning before he plasters on his signature swagger smile. I roll my eyes, but soon my smile matches Jake's as Jim walks up. While they discuss a few details about some shit I'm not interested in, I take Jake's cell out of his hand to order some more Uber Eats. This app is awesome, and they'll go anywhere. Even halfway across town to get some of that pizza I had the first night I was here. I've just placed the order when Jake tosses an arm casually over my shoulders to get my attention. I slip his phone in his back pocket and my arm around his waist as I pretend to care about what he says rather than obsess over the pizza that will be here in 30 minutes.
The AFA has lifted the flight ban, so Jim will be returning home this afternoon.
Though I do not care, I respond with the appropriate frown to express my disappointment. Well, it was great meeting you, Jim.
The pleasure was all mine, Penelope.
Jim takes my hand and kisses it almost reverently.
Until next time.
Jake walks into the door, and I can't stop my eyes from drifting to Jake's perfect ass as he walks away. But it has nothing on the smile he wears when he returns. Someone is happy. I assume the meeting went well? He nods, his eyes raking over me.
Very, very well.
His hands snake around my waist and he pulls me to him.
You're coming with me to Kansas.
I attempt a laugh, but it's more of a breath as I study his lips. Full, smooth, kissable. So demanding, Mr. Swagger.
That I am, Miss Hart. We leave the day after tomorrow.
He's so close. Smells so good. The struggle to find my breath is real. When I finally do, I can't help but tease him. What makes you so sure I'll go? Maybe I have plans.
You don't have plans, he says, his lips skimming my jaw.
I arch my neck to give him better access. I might.
Is that so?
He works his way to my earlobe and drags it between his teeth.
Like what?
My thighs clench. The soreness there causes a shiver to run up my spine at the reminder of last night. Maybe I have a date. He stills.
A date?
This could be fun. Yeah, a date. You know, dinner, wine, candles. Sex?
Penelope,
he growls, the sound coming from deep in his chest. Does the idea of me having sex with another man bother you, Mr. Swagger?
Yes.
I grin against his jaw before placing my lips there. I've been thinking of starting an escort service back home, kind of like the one you use. I think I'd make a good Miss Sims, don't you? I think he tries to say my name again, but it just comes out as a deep rumble. And I'm beginning to think Jake doesn't like me throwing the Miss Sims thing in his face. I want to apologize, tell him I was only kidding. But before I can, everything just becomes chaos. Jake's mouth devours mine as he slips both his hands beneath my pants and pushes them over my hips. I fist the hair at the nape of his neck. He grabs my waist and lifts me in the air. Our kiss never breaks as I kick my feet free of my pants, then wrap my legs around his hips. He carries me the short distance to his office. My back is against the wall, chest arching into his. Needing to feel more of him, I let go of his hair long enough to unzip my top.
Then I'm pressing against him again, my nipples hard beneath my bra, breast achy, desperate for his touch. He pulls away to unbutton his jeans, and I have to lock my arms and legs to keep from falling. My mouth trails along his jaw, neck, shoulder. He releases my waist and pulls a condom from his pocket, his words and the gravel in his voice making me whimper and moan when he speaks in short sentences.
Driving me goddamn crazy. A fucking date. Trying to make me jealous. Fucking succeeding. Fucking hell, these panties are soaked.
His knuckle skims over the wet material. The touch ignites me. I throw my head back, eyes closed, lips parted, nails digging, hip lifting and thrusting against his hand.
This sweet wet pussy is wet for me, Penelope.
I mewl an unintelligible response. He pushes my panties to the side and drags a finger across my slit.
These pretty pink swollen lips are swollen from me.
I arch my back into his touch, and he sinks one long digit all the way inside me. He fucks me hard with his finger, his knuckles slapping against my wet heat with every thrust.
You're sore because of me, because when I fuck you, I can't get enough.
Have mercy.
Do you want me to fuck you with my cock the way I'm fucking you with my finger?
I nod and whimper and beg and may die if he doesn't deliver.
I'm going to sink this big motherfucker inside your tender little cunt and pound into you until you beg me to stop.
Shit, okay, now I'm afraid I'll die if he does deliver. My body tenses and I open my eyes, blinking a few times to focus my vision. He looks so hungry, so feral, so raw and untamed.
Jake, I... You what?
He pumps his finger harder inside me.
You don't want me to fuck you?
What kind of question is that? I do, I just... My voice trails off when he pushes that finger he was just fucking me with inside his mouth. His eyes flutter shut, and he releases a low hum as he slowly drags the digit from between his lips.
Holy hell, that's hot.
He kisses me again, I'm sure to distract me from the head of that big motherfucker pressing against my opening. Thankfully, it works, and I relax around him. He swallows my moans, thumbs my clit when I whimper, backs out when I tense, pushes in when I arch against him. His hips lift in a slow, rhythmic motion until he's stretched me enough I'm past any discomfort, tingling with need for more, and drenching him with my arousal.
I'm going to fuck you hard now, Penelope.
His promise is said with conviction so serious, I'm forced to meet his gaze. There's a depth there unlike any I've ever seen.
I want to keep you sore, so you don't forget whose pussy this is.
Yes, Jake, please, is now a word, and it's all I can say as he powers into me, fucking me without restraint, drilling me as he sucks my nipples through my bra, slides his hands up my sides and curls them around the back of my shoulders, pulls me down as he thrusts up. His cock slides over the satiny spot that is the window to all my pleasure. His moves are so quick, so deep, so savage that I have no reprieve from the constant pleasure each stroke brings. And there's no mistaking that this pussy is, indeed, his pussy. Within moments, a warmth spreads down my spine, settles in my hips a moment before shooting straight to my core. I shatter around him in a release that takes my breath, stops my heart, and washes away any doubt I felt earlier about letting him take me this hard, and all fear of what physical state it might leave me in. Because the way Jake Swagger makes me come is totally fucking worth it.
20. I've never had an angry fuck before now, but I like it.
I'm still against the wall. He's still inside me. I'm sure that big rocket of his found its release, but I can't for the life of me remember when it happened or what happened. I was too busy trying to stay away from the light during my own orgasm. I don't think I've ever been closer to Jesus. I peel my arms from around his neck, and my legs slide down his body until I'm standing on my own 2 feet. Though I feel like I'm floating from the sight of him studying my face as he sweeps his fingertips across my forehead, brushes my hair behind my ear, drags his thumb across my temple. The moment shatters when the phone on his desk begins to ring. He doesn't seem to notice at first, or maybe he just doesn't care, but then the phone in his back pocket dings with a notification, and his eyes fall shut. He takes a deep breath, and I do the same. "That's probably Uber Eats," I whisper. He cracks one eye open and smirks at me.
"Again?"
"Yeah, I'm hungry. I ordered it from your phone. Is that okay?" His eyes roll.
"Of course."
The phone on his desk rings again.
"I have to get that,"
he mutters, his tone apologetic. "Okay, I'll go get Uber Eats."
"Want me to have Vance bring it up?"
I shake my head. "No, I'll go get it. I could use some air." I grin. "Plus, if it's that same little shit from earlier, I'm going to let him know my big bad husband is going to leave him a bad review." Jake's brow furrows. The phone continues to ring, but both of us ignore it.
"Husband?"
"Mm-hmm. The Uber driver thinks I'm your wife. He even called me Mrs. Swagger." He throws his head back on a laugh. When he meets my eyes, they're sparkling with humor.
"Well, swaggers are known for their promptness, so you better get down there, wife. We have a reputation to protect."
He winks playfully. Unbeknownst to him, I'm already planning our wedding, naming our kids, picturing the two of us chasing them through the park where we can live without fear of them stepping in a pile of dog shit. His lips pucker and he leans in to place a wet kiss on my mouth as he buttons his pants. He steps away and grabs the annoying fucking phone on his desk. When he answers, his voice is controlled, tone cool and businesslike. It takes me a little longer to get my shit together and find my clothes. After I've located all of them and am dressed, I step out of the apartment, a dreamy smile playing on my lips that still tingle from his kiss. The elevator finally arrives, and I float inside and press my nose to the corner. I hum my song and grin. I feel happy, tingly. Who the fuck am I kidding? I'm so in love. The elevator slows to a stop sooner than expected. I shrug it off, figuring the ride felt quicker than normal because I was distracted. Or perhaps because I've gotten used to the travel. But when I open my eyes and step out of the corner, the lighting looks different. It's a muted yellow instead of a soft white. And the doors aren't opening. And I hear the faint sound of a power grid shutting down. And the doors aren't opening. And the little digital number box on the panel next to the door doesn't have any digital numbers showing. And the doors aren't opening. And there's a buzz and a click, and a red light flashes in the corner. And the doors aren't opening. The room spins. I can feel the walls closing in. I can hear the creaks and groans and the snap of wires. I'm pretty sure I'm falling, but I'm not sure how I'm still standing up if I am falling. I think I'm going to vomit. I vomit. Someone is talking. I can hear voices coming from somewhere. Maybe outside the elevator? Have I stopped on another floor? Assaulted with the knowledge that I'm still hovering in the air and will plunge to my death any second, I become seized with panic. I scream for the voice to help me. I bang my fists on the doors that aren't opening. My stomach lurches. My vision clouds. I feel like my throat is closing. The voice comes from a speaker inside the elevator. I catch bits and pieces of what it's saying. Something about staying calm. Electricity went out. Generator problems. I scream at someone,
anyone, to get me the hell out of here. Try to pry open the doors, punch all the buttons. Where is the phone? There should be a phone. I don't have my phone. I'm going to die. I vomit.
Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Someone is singing the hook to my favorite song. I nod my head in tune for a moment while I try to breathe through the dry heaves now that my stomach is empty. When I find my voice, I sing along with them.
Da-da-da-da.
On my knees.
Da-da-da-da.
Forehead to the wall.
Da-da-da-da.
I will the room to stop spinning.
Da-da-da-da.
Will my mind to not focus on the falling. 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 Falling.
Penelope.
Jake?
Penelope.
Not Jake. The elevator jolts. Fuzzy black dots cloud my vision. I'm vomiting again.
Penelope, baby, give me your hand.
I'm so scared, but I swear that voice is real.
Open your eyes, Penelope.
I can't open my eyes, so I sing.
Da-da-da-da.
Penelope.
Da-da-da-da.
Please, sweetheart, please, listen to me.
Jake?
For fuck's sake, Penelope, look at me.
That's Jake. Jake?
Penelope. Baby, I'm right here.
Jake? I open my eyes, but only the wall stares back at me. Jake! I look to my left, my right. Jake!
Turn around, Penelope.
The calmness in his tone helps to quell my panic. Jake!
I'm here, baby. Just turn around.
I look behind me. Then I follow his voice up. And I see him. The first thing I notice is his eyes. They're soft, determined, full of something. I'm sorry, Jake.
Penelope, take my hand.
Fresh tears fill my eyes. I threw up in your elevator. Don't be mad at me.
Baby,
he breathes out. The sound is a mixture of relief and pity.
I'm not mad at you. Come here and take my hand.
It's then I notice his head and shoulders are squeezed between the gap in the doors, his arms stretched out toward me. The elevator must have stopped between floors. Stopped. Hovering. Falling.
Penelope.
His voice is firm but not angry, just enough to keep my attention.
I want you to stand up and—
No, no, no! I shake my head. I can't. I can't. It'll fall.
It won't fall. I'm not going to let you fall. But I need you to stand up. Come on, baby. There you go. Good girl. Now, one step.
Jake! My voice cracks on a sob. My vision fogs with more tears. I can't.
Yes, you can. One step. That's it. One more. Almost here. Just take my hand.
I stretch up on my toes to reach for his hand. I'm afraid I'm too short. He's too far away. I'm going to fall. Crash. Die. A hand circles my wrist, then my other wrist. My feet leave the floor. The top part of my body is dragged through the opening. I'm lifted under my arms, folded into Jake's arms. He sits on the floor in the hallway and leans against the wall next to the elevator.
Good girl. Good girl. Good girl.
He chants, over and over as he holds me to him and pets my hair, peppers my head with kisses. He's controlled, but I can hear the relief in his voice. I remember the panic that tinged it only moments ago. Remember the panic I felt when I thought I would die. When I thought his voice wasn't real. But it was real. He's here. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm alive. 21. The elevator had stopped somewhere between the 17th and 18th floors.
After the understanding that I was safe and alive began to sink in, I started to process another truth. I'd panicked in front of Jake. He'd seen me at my most vulnerable, and that made me feel weak. Still, I allowed him to carry me up 14 flights of stairs as if it was his duty. I'd protested, but he'd ignored me. When I told him I was fine, that I could walk, he would simply respond with, "Hush." When I couldn't stop my body from trembling, he would hold me tighter, kiss my hair, and say, "I've got you, baby. You're safe." When my tears leaked from my eyes and wet his neck, he would beg me, "Please don't cry, sweetheart." And with every step, every word, every temple kiss, back rub, soothing sound and squeeze, I found that my weakness had its perks, but the downside was greater. My embarrassment, the shame. How could I ever face him? He'd called me perfect only moments before I stepped on that elevator. What would he think of me now? He sets me on the couch and kneels in front of me. My chin in his fingers, he tilts my head so he can look at me. Before he can ask, I answer the question written all over his face and in his eyes. "I'm fine."
"Don't lie to me, Penelope."
"I'm not. I'm okay, Jake. Really. I'm just tired. And sore. And my throat hurts." He pushes my hair out of my face.
"Your screams."
"Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. I panicked."
"Don't apologize. I just figured that's why your throat is sore."
I shake my head and look away from him. "My throat hurts from throwing up."
"Don't be embarrassed by that, baby. It doesn't matter."
"I can smell it on me, Jake," I snap, swiping the tears from my cheeks. "I'm not angry at him. I'm just, well, I'm fucking embarrassed. I'm pretty sure it's in my hair." My eyes widen as I scan his t-shirt, his neck. "God, I hope I didn't get it on you."
"You worry about all the wrong things," he mumbles, mostly to himself. "Tell me what hurts so I can fix it. What else besides your throat?"
His eyes travel over me, looking for physical signs of injury. I close my eyes and try to keep the blood from rushing to my cheeks. I've humiliated myself enough for one day, or one lifetime. As exhausted as I feel, I shouldn't care. But I do.
"Hey, look at me."
I open my eyes and he's nothing but a blur. I'm an ugly crier. That's usually enough to keep my emotions in check. But my emotions are in turmoil right now, and I can't fight them no matter how hard I try. I move to stand and he backs out of my way. I want a shower, a bed, a redo of today. I walk away from him but only make it a few steps when I feel his hand on my elbow. I stop but don't turn to face him.
"You're tired because you've had hardly any sleep since you've been in Chicago. Your throat hurts because you were sick. You're sore because of me."
"Humor, where the fuck are you? Please come back to me. You're around for cocky that guy, jerk that guy, sexy that guy. Why abandon me with nice that guy? He's the only one I can't handle without you." "For fuck's sake, I'm having a conversation with my sense of humor." "I just want to take a shower." I pull away and he releases me. I'm relieved. Yet I feel cold without his touch. I don't want to be away from him. But I can't look at him right now either. Not like this. Not when I feel like this. I walk to the guest bathroom in a zombie-like trance. Inside the shower, I plant my hands on the wall and stand under the hot spray, willing it to release all the tension in my body. Wash away the mourning, the panic that still simmers beneath the surface. Sometime later, I'm still just standing there, when a cool blast of wind hits my naked, wet skin seconds before large hands flatten against my back. I jump beneath the touch.
"You're okay. It's just me."
Jake's thick tone instantly relieves some of the tension.
Perhaps because I'm not facing him. I don't have to look him in the eye. See the pity there. The remorse. Or, God forbid, the disgust. His thumbs knead the flesh on either side of my spine in a firm, circular motion. The result makes my knees wobble. Feel good? Shivers ripple through me and I nod, unable to find my voice. His thumbs work their way up my back to my shoulders to focus on my neck at the base of my skull. After several minutes of his caresses, it's a struggle just to hold myself up.
Lean back against me, baby.
I stagger back until my head is on his shoulder, my back against his chest, his thick cock nestled between the cheeks of my ass. The water sluices over my breasts and causes an erotic sting in my nipples that shoots straight to my core. His mouth finds the curve of my neck, and he places soft, lingering, wet kisses there. I release a long, low sigh, and his cock hardens against me. I wait for him to slide his hands to my breasts, or down my stomach to my swollen clit, or reach between us and stroke himself, doing what he does best, which will help me forget everything. But he just continues to massage my neck and shoulders, his touch highly intimate and erotic in its own way, but not sexual or demanding. He washes my hair, massages my scalp, spins me to face him. I keep my eyes closed as he soaps my body and cleans me from my head to my navel with his bare hands. I stand still and silent. Eventually, I lift my lashes just a fraction to peek at him. And I'm more than a little awestruck by the magnificence of Jake's swagger, of his body that's chiseled perfection, his masculine facial features that are devilishly handsome. That feeling that is becoming too familiar rocks through me when his eyes meet mine. They are as soft with kindness as they are fiery with lust. I need to fill the silence with something, but all I can manage is his name.
Jake.
Shh.
He straightens and cups my face with his hands.
Let me do this. Let me take care of you.
I swallow hard, blink away tears, nod, let him kiss my head, my eyes, cheeks, nose, chin. Son of a bitch, why does that make me want to cry harder?
He kneels in front of me to wash my legs, soaping his hands and rubbing the lather into my hips before making his way all the way down my legs in firm, circular strokes. When he makes his way back up my legs, his touch is more sensual. I never knew the spot behind my knee was such an erogenous place until the slow drag of his fingers there leave me trembling.
Turn around, Penelope.
His dark voice and even darker stare has me forgetting about everything but doing as I'm told. This is what he and I know. It's safe. It's distracting. It's normal for us.
Bend over, hands on either side of the bathtub.
My eyes fall closed, and a noise I've never heard myself make escapes me. I try my best to forget that he's kneeling behind me. But it's impossible to do when I feel his lips skim my hip in feathery kisses, moments before he breathes across my skin.
Spread your legs. I want to see your pussy.
Jake! The cry is guttural, and I don't know if I'm trying to tell him I'm embarrassed by his words, or if I'm simply calling out to him because he's all-consuming. I have that feeling, the warm one. The pop rocks are in my veins. There's a flutter in my belly, a heaviness in my chest. And these things don't stem from a throbbing, sexual need for him to be inside me. These feelings come from somewhere even deeper. There's something about this humiliating, titillating, provocative moment that makes my body, mind, and voice sing his name over and over.
Hush, baby. Trust me. I got you. There are those words again. The ones from the elevator. The ones he whispered when he saved me. The ones from last night. The ones that made me fall asleep with the realization that what's happening between us isn't just some fictional story I'm writing. This is real. What I feel is real. I do trust him. And with trust comes love. With love comes pain. And I know it's love, because despite the fear of risking it all, I want to give myself over to him. I cannot believe I'm having an epiphany while I'm bent over in the shower, my ass in Jake's face, legs spread so he can see all of me. I guess that's what it takes for a girl like me who hides behind her humor and lives in an imaginary world to escape reality and all the heartache that comes with it. Because humiliation, uncertainty, and vulnerability are feelings that can't be ignored. And those are the feelings I feel in this moment. Jake's hands slide up the back of my thighs and cups my ass.
I should have done this last night.
He spreads me open and his breath fans over me.
This morning, every time you gave yourself to me, I should have been right here, on my knees, worshipping what brings me the best goddamn pleasure I've ever felt.
Then his mouth is on me, kissing my pussy, his tongue and lips like velvet on the sensitive, swollen flesh. It feels exquisite, just like the massage, more cherishing than carnal despite where his mouth is. This is nothing like last time. This isn't foreplay. This isn't him trying to make me come hard by sucking on my clit or fucking me with his tongue. This is him doing as he said, worshipping what he ravaged, soothing what he hurt, doing what he can to put back together the pieces of me that shattered in that elevator. Everything inside me unravels. A sob escapes from deep in my chest. I don't know what's water and what's tears. I'm a boneless, exhausted mess. Completely numb aside from the low, steady hum that swims through my veins and sounds in my ears. He shuts off the water and helps me straighten before turning me to face him. I want to look at him, to see if his eyes reflect a hint of what I'm feeling. But I can't lift my lids.
Wrap your arms around my neck, sweetheart.
By the time his demand breaks through the fog and registers with my mind, he's already placed my arms around his neck and effortlessly lifted me so my legs are around his waist and my head is on his shoulder. I shiver when the air whips around my wet skin as he carries me out of the bathroom. I burrow deeper into him, and he responds by tightening his grip. He stops walking. I feel his shoulder flex beneath my head as he reaches for something. I moan against his neck as heat surrounds me. The towel is soft and warm and feels perfect against my achy, overly sensitive skin. I might not have just come from a session in a playroom or been flogged or belted or shackled or clamped, but I'm pretty sure what I'm feeling is similar to the after effects of subspace. He dries me like I'm his, like he has every right to wipe away the water from some places and gently pat dry those that are much more tender, like he knows the weight of my hair and what it takes to rid the water from my ringlets, like I'm his treasure to touch, to kiss, to call beautiful, like I was meant to wear the t-shirt he slips over my head, his t-shirt. Like his bed was made just for me, his body molded to perfectly fold around mine, his lips created to worship my temple. And then sometime later, maybe minutes, maybe hours, he speaks words to me I'm not meant to hear. They're meant to fall on deaf ears. They're meant to be said to a woman who is asleep. But they're said in a whispered tone, laced with such conviction and sincerity that even if I couldn't hear it with my ears, I'd hear it in my soul.
because that's where I feel him most, where I know him best, and his words are delivered in true Jake Swagger form.
For fuck's sake, Penelope Hart, you're making me